My name is Tom Morton, and this is an interview with Mr. Ernest L. Miller. Mr. Miller was born in 1894 and came to Bishop in 1913. At the age of 18, Mr. Miller was a personal chauffeur of Mr. Bishop, the founder of this town. This interview was taken on July the 5th, 1973.
Mr. Miller, when did you first come to Bishop?
I came here the 8th of November, 1912.
You weren't born here?
No, I was born in Lansing County.
Where's that?
Well, it's 30 miles east of Waco and 18 miles from here, 17 miles from Grove Bay, where I was born.
What made you decide, or how did you decide to come down to Bishop?
Well, my father came down here and bought a section of land out west of town, and was riding around in the car one afternoon. Mr. Bishop made the remark, said, "You know, sir, I've got to have me a chauffeur. Said, I've got to buy a car and I need somebody to drive it." And Dad spoke up and said, "Well, sir, I've got an 18-year-old boy back home that'd be mighty glad to drive it for you." He said, "How soon could you get him down here?" He said, "Well, I'll get him down here as soon as we get back to town and wire him and have him come down." So I come down, and that's how come he came here.
And you were Mr. Bishop's
private chauffeur.
Private chauffeur, huh?
Yes.
Well, I was previously talking to your wife, and she told me that you used to own a motorcycle.
Yeah, I've had two motorcycles in my lifetime.
What kind were they?
The first one was an American, and the last one was a Harley Davidson.
Was that your only means of transportation when you while you were growing up in Europe?
Yeah, that was the only thing I ever owned. He never would buy me a bicycle. I always wanted one, but he never would buy me one. Finally bought me a motorcycle.
What type of work did you do while you were growing up?
I was born and raised on the farm. I've done that all my work has been on the farm. Except after I come down here, after I quit driving for him, I worked in a drugstore down there for a while. And later on, I went to work at the ice plant. I worked at the ice plant for 2 or 3 years, and then they moved the ice plant down to Kingsville, and I moved down there and went to work down there again.
Did you ever work for the King Ranch?
Yeah, I was working there in 1917 when I joined the Army.
Mr. King, Richard King was dead. Who was running the ranch then?
Mr. R.J. Clayburgh.
Clayburgh.
Yeah, the father, Bob Clayburgh, commanded in charge of today. And I was the second truck driver that the King Ranch ever possessed.
What kind of man was Mr. Clayburgh?
He was a very fine fellow. He was a pretty good-sized man, wore a mustache, smooth shaved otherwise, and he managed the King Ranch altogether. He married Ms. Clayburgh, was Grandma King's daughter. And she put him, after he married her, she put him in charge of the King Ranch. And he was manager of it up until his death. And as he died, well, this boy that's got it today, Bob Clayburgh, fell after it.
And how long did you work for Mr. Clayburgh?
Down there about 8 or 9 months.
Then World War One came around?
Yeah.
What did you do in World War One?
Well, I went in over there as a motorcycle dispatch rider. But we got over there, we didn't have our motorcycles over there at that time. So in order to get in this outfit, you had to swear on oath that you had as much as 5 years experience with a motorcycle, which I had. I had owned two of my own. So that's how I got in on it. But we never did do the work that we went over there to do. We were all more or less a screwdriver mechanic, you might say. We laid around over there for a while, and they needed men to do work so bad that they put my gang. I had to land in the hospital, though, to begin with a move. And the boys, then, they went on to St. Nazaire, France. I stayed in the hospital till I got well, and I would come on later on. So when I got there, they had them boys put me little old Model T Ford ambulances together. And they were just putting them together, trying them out, see if they'd run, get them in shape to run. Or they'd turn them loose and then ship them up to the front, just anywhere they might happen to need them.
What were the schools like back in Bishop that you can remember, and the school teachers?
Well, the building at that time was just an old wooden building. And I don't remember. I didn't go to school in here. I don't remember anything about it much except the building. But later on, they built a two-story building, and I guess it was built sometime in 1913. That was the first nice brick building that they had.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood there for, I don't know how many years, and they finally tore it down and built the one they've got down there now, and they've been adding on to it for the last 8 or 10 years. Still talking about building more.
Well, when you had to get around, what were the road conditions like? Was it any pavement?
No, there wasn't a foot of pavement in South Texas anyway.
When can you recall the first pavement that you had traveled on, or can you?
Well, in 1916, we didn't have a paved road then. It was a gravel road run from near the county line down there from Cleburne County line on up here. Well, about 4 miles north, and then went out to about 4 miles west to Palo Alto, and that was a gravel road. But I don't remember exactly when the first pavement was put out here. But other than that, that was the only hard surface road there was in Cleburne County or Yersin County either.
How long would it take you to get to, say, Kingsville or Corpus Christi if you left by, would you travel by car?
Yeah, all together. Oh, it'd take you about an hour and a half, 2 hours to Corpus.
To go to Corpus.
Yeah.
That must have been slow traveling.
Well, 35, 40 miles an hour is just about as fast as you could go.
And on
you'd have to slow down maybe for, you take it between Bishop and Driscoll up here, there's, when I first came, you had there 7 culverts across that road. There, you had to slow down and get in low gear and get across some of them.
Well, I imagine the weather affected your traveling.
Yeah. We'd go to Corpus. Mr. Bishop had his office over there. When he'd sell a piece of land, he'd have to go back over there, you know, to get the bookkeeper to write out the deeds and everything. And if it'd come a big rain over there, he'd phone back over here to see whether we'd come home. Now, if it rained over here as much as it did in Corpus, we couldn't go home. We'd have to stay all night. Unfortunately, though, I never did have to stay all night. We always managed to get back, but that is the way it was. I've seen it rain, by the way, the water run all the way over there in Corpus, and never rained jump out here.
Well, can you remember any bad weather, like hurricanes or droughts?
No, the first one we had was 1916. That was the worst storm we had up till that time. And I was told by old timers that was the first storm we'd had in South Texas in 40 years.
And what was this, a hurricane?
Yes, it was a Gulf storm, what they call a Gulf storm. And it just tore Bishop up awful bad. In fact, there's signs of it down there today that I'd know of. Or a stranger wouldn't know anything about it. I do.
You did a lot of farming, didn't you?
Oh, I never did very much. Until after I married, I didn't do farming. I worked on the farm all the time.
Oh, I see.
My daddy at home.
What type of farming did you do here in Bishop?
Well, we raised cotton and feed all together.
Hands? Did you have trouble getting work or hands to work in the field?
Well, no, we never did have very much trouble. We'd have to go down in the Rio Grande Valley, and sometimes we'd get them to come across the river out of Mexico and come up here and pick cotton in the fall of the year. That's all gone by now. You don't have any hand-picked cotton anymore at all. It's all done by machinery.
What about early industry?
It was either just outright farming or cattle industry. That's all there was here.
Were those the biggest money-making?
That was all there was here. If that struck oil down here, gas or anything about it. That's all been done since then.
Yeah. When do you remember oil being found? Can you remember a date?
No, I don't remember the exact date. It's back in the early 20s, though. I'm sure. It's been that far back.
Was the King Ranch the first to discover oil?
Oh, no. The first oil was discovered. It was discovered over here at Quiet Point over near Corpus Christi. No, there wasn't any oil discovered down there on King Ranch until, I'd say 15, 20 years ago. That's all been done since then. Lumber leased all that. There's people that brought the oil in down at Gigsville on the King Ranch, the Lumber Company. Of course, when I came back from the Army after World War I, well, they had a little oil down there in Clayburg County out east of town. I don't remember now what company that brought it in. But that didn't amount to that much. It was a small well.
Well, if you came here in 1913?
12.
1912. Who were some of the early settlers of Bishop that you personally knew?
Well, Keesey's down here, and Mayhawk, and Mollick. Some of their relatives still live here, but the old man Keesey was dead, so was Mollick and his wife were both dead that were here then. And Thelma Butt was here. We still here.
Did y'all live very close together? Did y'all live in town?
No, we lived 4 miles up the highway. My father built a house up there exactly 4 miles north of Bishop.
When did you meet Mrs. Miller and when were y'all married?
Oh, I met her in 1914, I guess. It was. Met her maybe in 1914, and we were married in 1921.
You knew each other 7 years before you got married, huh? That was a long engagement.
Well, we weren't exactly engaged all that time.
Yes. I see. What can you remember about the different businessmen in Bishop, the bankers and the people that own stores?
Yeah. Well, the banker was a fellow whose name was Kenner. And later on, there was a man coming here, Mr. Cox, who run the, what was called Moore Dry Goods Store. He didn't own it, but he run it for them. And that was over there where the old bank building is today, where the highway city office on the corner. And there was a fellow here that had a dry goods store here and a grocery store combined. His name was Flynn. He was one of the early settlers at one of the first stores in Bishop. And there was Cage Brothers that had the biggest store that was here at that time. They were here when I came here.
What were Wasn't there a 7-year drought?
Yeah, it wasn't a complete failure during those 7 years, but the crops was awful short. My daddy used to say that if you could get stuff up in this country and get it to come up above the ground, it would make some kind of a crop, which was true. But I don't know, the conditions have changed here to what they used to be. I remember back in the early days when they used to raise cotton here, you couldn't think about it. Start picking for 9, 10 o'clock in the morning on account of big heavy dews, such heavy dews. But here, the last few years, you can go picking out there by daylight, and you still won't have any wet cotton. Just times are changing. I don't know why. You know, I don't have the explanation for it. At the same time, it's just that way.
First of all, ain't 90
And to begin with, Mr. Bishop bought all those essence for those boys. He brought them gifts from furniture.
Was it a school band or just
no? It was grown people.
Oh, I see.
Wasn't a school kid in it. They were all grown people.
Did they learn how to play the instruments themselves?
Sure. Some of them had the experience before they started the band, of course. Band director paid his salary, Mr. Bishop did, to direct the band. They used to have a band concert down at that park every Sunday evening if the weather was fair, if it wasn't muddy and raining, while they had a band concert down there. And they practiced one night every week.
You said they went up to Dallas?
Yeah. He carried them up there at his expense on this special train. Paid all the expenses. All they was out was just what they paid for their eats.
That must have been something. How many people were in the band?
Well, they wasn't such a big band. I don't remember how many there were.
See, in the picture, there were three rows.
I imagine there's 12, 15 of them at least, maybe more.
Yes. Some girls, one woman and her daughter and her two sons.
About 12, 15,
I could remember that because that's when I had the first ready-made dress. We went to Kingsville, not only to Raglan's, to buy something Mama always sold for us. And really, I know now it was too old, but nobody knew how old I was. I didn't have to tell them, you know. I shouldn't have had it, but they had to make it all of them, see, in the dress. It's old.
No, it is.
Don't. Don't remember that.
Tell the story.
Well, I didn't mind. I just didn't want mine being butted in there. But anyway, that was kind of sick. We went on to Dallas. I mean, to Atlanta. We didn't stay there, and when we got they had changed trains at that little place out north, east of Dallas a little bit. You hear of it all the time. And one train stopped here, and way off on the other was another one. And Mama was afraid we wouldn't get it if we didn't hurry, afraid we wouldn't wait for it. Mama was fast, you know, and she just fell down to the roll right there. Irving, I believe was the name.
Irving.
I believe it.
I wanted to ask you, Mr. Miller, what did you ever hear anything about any raids from, you know, up from Mexico or any bandits, or how was law enforcement around here?
Well, Bishop used to have a city marshal, and they had a constable here, but the raids you speak of was at Pancho Villa. He come up as far as Norris down here at and the cave ranch up the side of Raymondville. I remember that very well.
I told him they watched for him out of the ranch.
Yeah.
Stayed up in that little turret.
No, they had a bunch.
You know something else then.
They had a bunch of soldiers stationed down there at Kingsville. And they'd bring them out there and keep them out there at the ranch. They stayed out there day and night for several months. In fact, they were there when I left to go to France.
Yeah.
during World War One.
Were these?
Oh, God did it not. They didn't do anything daytime, but they stroll that all around that mansion, all around that property there at night, all night long.
Were
these? No.
Were these men that Mr. Clayburgh hired himself, or was it a part of the army?
They belonged to the army. They had the soldiers stationed down there they came from. Now, whether Clayburgh paid them anything or not, I don't know. I'm just guessing about that. But all I know is they were there.
Well, that's just where they figured they would come. Yeah. If they'd gone to the Norris Ranch, places like that.
They had big, high-powered flight up there. I don't know how many miles you can see that place. It revolved around, you know, up there in that dome. It revolved all night long. They turned on when it got dark. Those boys would sit up there and watch that thing. But anybody out there for several miles, they could see it. And they did have any trouble, though, but they just precaution. I'd come in at night on that motorcycle of mine, and they'd be up, they'd see me, I'd speak to them, and I'd go on and go to bed.
Told him that you're losing your little pistol coming after me. Well, what about the daily work schedule? How long was it? Sun up, sun down, like you hear, or was it just depended on what type of job you have?
What do you mean? At the ranch?
Here, when you were here in Bishop.
Oh, here at Bishop, we never thought about closing the drugstore. When I was working at the drugstore, we never thought about closing until 11, 12 o'clock.
At night?
At night.
I worked in a drug store, and we'd stay as long as there was anybody in town. And when I quit working, and we married, we'd all come to town on Saturday night. These people, kids would play up and down the side, you know.
That late at night?
Yeah.
What time did you go to work in the morning?
About 8 o'clock, I know.
7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. But the folks on the farm, though, he used to work from sun up to sundown.
Were there any racial feelings of discrimination, like were people discriminatory against blacks and
they were more so between the Mexicans and the niggers than they is today. In fact, if you had a bunch of Mexicans picking cotton out here, that's the niggers, well, they didn't get along at all. They wouldn't even drink water out of the same container that the niggers would drink out of.
Well, but you know, the Mexicans couldn't go into the powder and confectioner either, drugstore, anywhere.
For a number of years, I don't remember what year they broke that off, but a Mexican, a nigger, either one, couldn't go in to sit at the soda fountain down here and get a drink at all.
What date was this? What year was this? Can you remember?
From the time we came here, 1910 on, until in recent years, it hadn't been too many years since Mexicans could go into anything down there. Not many, if you figure the 60-some odd that I've been here. Of course, you know about when the niggers started doing things.
But you think it came to the Lord was a different proposition. Now, they used to have what they call a quiet kitchen cafe down there. It stayed open day and night, 24 hours a day. And the Mexicans could always go in there and eat and drink coffee. But you couldn't do it in Bishop.
Because there probably weren't any except the ones that belonged
out
to the ranch.
They weren't
allowed to. Well, I said there weren't probably any in town to imagine except the ones that belonged to the ranch. You know, they have raised their families out there.
Oh, there's a lot of
them. They could go where they want to on the ranch, I imagine.
But the neighbors didn't go in there then, though.
No, it's just reason. Thought about it. He knows when they do everything.
Any murders or anything like that around here, around Bishop, because of these racial feelings?
No.
Or no?
Not that I ever knew of.
What about when y'all lived, after y'all moved from Bishop out to the, you know, to the country more or less, how, if you had to get in touch with the doctor or something like this, would you call him at home or?
Go get him.
You'd have to go
get him.
You'd have to go in town to get him.
Yeah. One of our babies was born 7 miles out west of town.
Had to go in and get him.
And we just went and got him and came out and had a bed fixed in his car. Stayed on this one.
Did,
But they'd always come, and that's one thing. You could always get them. You can't do that today.
Were there any epidemics or bad?
Nothing really, but the flu was there, Ernest.
The flu during World War One. There was an awful lot of flu.
We worked our old doctor to death last week. Did you tell him about the anything about Dr. Williams and the tricks the boys would play on one especially? Because that
he bought a little old car. It was the name of it was a little four. I don't know who built it or anything about it. And the doctor had been used to riding the horse and driving the horse to a buggy all his life up until he bought that little old car. And instead of pushing the clutch out where he'd go shift gears, he'd just reach down and jerk it back in low gear and get ready to go the second way. He'd shove it on down the second and jerk it back high. He wouldn't fool with the clutch at all. The gears just crash, you know. Somebody said to him one day, he said, Doc said, you're going to ruin that thing if you don't take pushing that clutch out. He said, ah, oh, what the heck do I care? Says, it goes. Sir. That's all I care about, just so it goes.
What kind of stories did they tell you? Did these black people work for you?
Yeah.
They worked for your father.
Worked for my father, not me.
Uh-huh. And what kind of stories did they tell you?
Oh, they tell about ghost stories, you know, stuff like that, but there wasn't anything to it.
They believed it.
That's what.
You did too,
you're afraid
to go home.
I'd be when I did leave.
Come on.
When was the town of Combs founded? Can you remember?
No, Combs. That's way down.
I mean, not Combs, but.
I'm here at the. Well, that wasn't really a town. That's Concordia.
Concordia.
That's what they named it. I don't think they ever even as much as had a commissary out there. Not that I knew of.
There was anything out there except school and church.
They had their own food at home. They just had to go down and get flour once in a while.
They never went into
But
town.
That was just, well...
No, yeah, we're they, speaking of the Germans, right?
We'd been good friends to a boy who wasn't a German, but his daddy lived out there somewhere. And he was raised out there, and there we were, and Bishop, Ernest, and me both, and we never knew him, and he didn't know us. He might, Pauline did, but then his wife just never come to town. They had a picnic every year out there, 4th of July, big 4th of July celebration, and the white folk. I don't mean it that way. People from town would go out, and they charged so much. For the schools and stuff. And that's the way they ran their schools.
Oh, I see.
One way.
Well, with Bishop, was really, they grew a lot of cotton around here, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's all they used to grow more cotton than anything else. Just raised enough feed to, back in the mule days before we had tractors, you see. They raised enough feed to feed their livestock, and the rest of it would be cotton.
Because you couldn't sell it.
Where did they sell their cotton? Did they ship it up north, or?
Oh, they'd sell it over here in Corpus, and it'd be shipped to Houston, places like that, before Corpus got deep water.
But you see, they had buyers. They got this, had buyers that would come out here and buy it. You didn't have to peddle it.
What was the price of cotton, can you recall? How much it sold for a pound?
Yes, I sure can. They got down there and... After World War One started over there, he got down to as low as 4 cents a pound.
4 cents a pound.
500 pound bales.
500 pound.
Of course, they'd be over the London. You weren't getting much money out of it. Hadn't cost near as much to raise it though.
It didn't cost very much to raise it.
Several
years ago, they used to raise a lot of vegetables here. They had. Three or four vegetable sheds down here. Because when they go to harvesting those vegetables, bring them in there, and onions and stuff like that, they have a big crowd working there. But it's all gone. They was just labor business got so high that they couldn't do anything with it at all. They just had to quit.
Well, I was telling him how we canned all that stuff, and that if you wanted something a neighbor had, right, you got it.
You, what would you do? Just trade? If you, they had something you wanted, you just trade?
Well, whether you had anything or not, they had more than they want. Now, this was since they weren't selling it.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and you, somebody would have a big black-eyed pea patch. Well, if you wanted black-eyed peas, go get them. And that's what happened. Went and got them.
What were some of the biggest changes that you saw that really affected you from, you know, since you had, were growing up till now? I mean, I know that the pace of life is a lot faster for so many people.
I told him it took, was it 2 hours it took to go to Carver?
I told him that,
and
yeah.
And now we can go in about 35 minutes, such a matter?
Yeah.
Depending on what you run into, you know. The time you go and stay all, you just well stay all day, you know. Because it's long to get there.
What about the cost of things, the cost of dresses, and, you know, things like this, dry goods and
just like it was everywhere else.
Was it real cheap? What, do you remember the house?
It was cheap. It would be cheap today. Yeah. It wasn't too cheap then because we didn't make the money like they do today.
Can you recall it, the prices of anything that you used a lot of?
Your suits cost money.
Yeah.
Tailor-made.
I had a tailor-made suit that a boy made for me down there at Bishop when I come back out of World War I. And I think it cost me $60.
That was big money then, you know, think of it now.
That
would be $250 today.
That was a tailor-made suit, blue serge. You can't buy a suit like it today. They don't make it. You can't find it at all.
That seems like a lot easier.
But you see, our clothes, we didn't buy ready-made clothes.
I used to, all the time. I wore Flo-Sam shoes for years. I used to pay $6.50 a pair for them. Today, the same shoe sells $35, $40.
That's true. Oh. What can you recall about Bishop? Some of the good things that you could think about, memorable things.
Oh, I don't know.
He was young then. We were young, we were having a good time. We couldn't get up and go way off somewhere. We just were in town, just here in somebody's house. And picture show or something like that. And it wasn't always like that. I mean, we got together so much. Used to go early in the morning, play tennis on the tennis block.
No, I know that.
Tennis courts. I did. And, you know, there's just so many things to do that you wouldn't think of. A little new town.
When you mailed the letter, how long did it take you to get it from,
well, it wasn't a long time because they came by train, and the trains came, as he said, twice a day from the north and twice a day from the south. So, of course, way off, I don't think you get them in fast now by air mail. But, of course, you can get them from Sacramento, California, mail yesterday, and we got them today and any time. But that's air. I imagine from North Texas it'd take, if they'd have mailed it on Monday, we'd have had it by Wednesday.
Oh, I imagine it used to be a letter from here to California takes about 3.5-4 days.
Yeah, more than that when it was going by train.
Yeah.
What kind of sporting events did they have in Bishop?
Well, that is about the all I had like then, except these fellas down there played tennis, but as far as being in it. Well, yeah. Baseball was the only thing that they had in the way of sports.
Well,
they're
playing next team. That's what he turned off for.
Oh, they had a little, what they call the Gulf Coast League here. Corpus had a team in it. Robstown had a team in it. Sinton had a team in it. Yeah, and Kingsville had a team. And
Taft
had a team, I believe. They played one another just like the National American League play one another today.
Were they paid?
Well, they didn't. They played mostly on Sunday.
I see. Were they paid for these games, or did they just play them?
Yeah, you paid to go in and see them.
Well, it was where the boys paid. They were. Paid. They were hired.
$55 a month.
How could you do it? $55
to play ball.
They had
another job with it. Power come. But they had to be able to play ball on Sunday evening, though.
Did they hold it?
They had one boy that come all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, down and he had a pitcher. One of the best ones I believe I ever laid my eyes on.
Can you remember his name?
Yes, I could told you a while ago, but I can't call it right now.
Maybe you'll think of it if you're telling about the Concordia ball team.
Yeah, the Concordia, but right over there, they had a ball team that was as good as might be any team in Texas League today at one time.
They played in town, though, and we'd go and watch them. They had one shortstop that was hot. Well, he was a demon.
What did you, I meant to ask you this while ago, what did you think about Mr. Bishop while you worked for him?
Oh, he was one of the best fellas to work for that I ever worked for in my life. He was an awful good man to work for. And he used to be an awfully good man, but later on, though, he got to where the word wasn't as good as it used to be.
Well, it wasn't because he was mean in the circumstances. That's just coming. He was farm boy, wasn't he?
Farm boy.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure. Insurance saved him before you come down here. So I've been told. He never told me, but that's what I had heard.
Where did Mr. Bishop come from?
I don't remember.
Well, if Bishop was called
Brookings.
That
was just the name. You see, they named all of them, and most of them, they named them after some of the flavors. Kings, whichever they were. With Alice, his uncle was here, and Sarah, and Sarita, and you know, names like this. But Brookings never, it wasn't in the Driscoll.
I don't know.
See, Driscoll, another man owned all that property up there. But it didn't stay Brookings long, huh? They just have to have a name on them, you know?
Yeah, this is just a place for the trains and stuff.
Yeah. Tell where.
And where it got that name, I don't know. I never did know.
When did Mr.
It's there, we just got rid of it.
When did Mr. Bishop name the town Bishop?
Right away.
I mean, the year. Well, 1910.
We didn't go through 10 without that. That thing was down over there. In a little while after we came here, there was no Brookings on it. He had it changed, and I don't know what process he had to go through. I guess just the railroad, you see, they had a terminal in Kingsville Roundhouse, and all kinds of things. I imagine through that he got it changed.
Can you recall any of the presidents? Term of office that you admired with Ohio?
No, not especially.
The governor of Texas. Ferguson?
Ferguson, then did you ever hear or read about Ma Ferguson?
Oh yeah, yes ma'am, yeah. I did.
I went down to the train to see him, and you know, from then on, I wouldn't walk from here to the road to see any of them.
Uh-huh. How did Prohibition affect Bishop?
Stuck.
It stuck?
Yeah. Because the beer joints, but not on the main street. One time, they had one on the main street for a little while. I don't know why. But they're on side streets and across the track.
They never have sold whiskey at Bishop legally.
And no saloons to worry with.
Have you ever heard any stories about bootleggers or anything?
Oh, yeah. I never know anything, but I just hear about it, you know. Not enough to...
You didn't know anybody who was?
No.
What kind of stories did you hear? I mean, where would they smuggle the liquor from?
Oh, they just...
make it themselves.
A lot of them used to make it themselves. I've heard, so I've been told. I don't know.
And they're smuggling everything out of Mexico, you know.
Yeah, everything been smuggled out of Mexico.
They're smuggling marijuana.
Yes, ma'am.
And some, you know, they have found some right out over here, somebody see it.
Out
you here. Know, yeah,
out
you know it's there.
Yeah.
People growing marijuana?
And
gin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it gin over there?
Gin right over there.
Yeah.
You see what happens? Yeah. Somebody goes out and plants it in your field. And, I don't know how I guess the old man found it and took it in to see what it was, didn't he? The man who owned the place. They do that every place. You know.
That happened while we were up in Victoria, though. We weren't here. A friend of mine lives right across over yonder. He told me the other day that this boy that lived over there was growing it.
Have y'all ever lived any place besides Bishop?
We lived in, you mean ours?
Yes, ma'am.
We lived in Kingsville for what, 2.5?
Yeah, 3 years.
What did you do? Is that when you worked for the Kingsville?
No, I worked for the ice plant down there.
Oh, the ice plant.
Stationary engineer. That's it sound.
That is after I come back out of the army, though, it's all left this place. Oh, she lived here first, then they moved to Harlingen and lived down there for
We moved to Powelton.
And moved to Harlingen.
And then moved back to Bishop, and then went to Harlingen.
And moved to San Antonio.
I went to San Antonio and worked while you were in the service. It was not.
That's
right.
I'd rather that.
The elders lived there, but they were dead.
My brother.
What kind of stories, what did y'all think of the
Texas Rangers? Most wonderful group Texas ever had.
I've heard so many stories about them being, you know, real. You know, I've heard good stories, I've heard bad stories about them. And I was just wondering what you think about them.
Well, I think that if they ever do away with them, it'd be one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. Or as law. They're trying to get them out up there now. We've got the congressmen and representatives up there now trying to pass law to do away with their services.
They really maintain the order back then.
No, I mean,
listen, when the Rangers said.
Sure, they maintain order.
I don't know.
You don't fool with them guys at all. They're not mean, they're not overbearing, but if he tells you to sit down, he means you to sit down. You better do it, too.
Yeah, I've heard quite a bit of stories about him.
I've never heard mean things.
This fellow Alley has been one of the best ones and one of the most notorious ones that I've known anything about.
Not notorious, but noted.
Well, no.
He hasn't been bad.
What were some of the things that he did?
Well, he quieted that bunch down there in the valley that was trying to run everything down there, you know.
What was this?
Oh, it was a bunch of, it wasn't going to work on a farm down there. And they done, I don't remember what all they done.
You see, they go on strike. They don't want to work. But they've got to eat.
Unionism. That's what's going to ruin the world, unionism.
I listen to you on the air,
and you say
anything about
it. I don't care. It's true whether it's on the air or not.
You hear some bad, almost hearing some things about the FBI too, but I'm not going to believe any of it, because we had a son who was in there for 32 years.
He was in the FBI?
Yeah. And Ernest had two brothers in there. And now some of them may get out. When they get out, they may do things. But before they got in, brother, they know more about them than they know about themselves. Almost forever. Now, when Ray was 18, when he applied, and you had to have 2 years of college or be a policeman of some kind, you know. And we lived across the into the Driscoll School a while, and our kids went up there. They went to Driscoll, asked all about him, everybody. He went to A&I, they asked everybody, can you laugh? Thelma Butcher's wife, and went to Corpus. He worked over there at the filling station in the summer when he was finishing high school. My folks were over there. And he asked them, they know about you. And they didn't take you if you've ever been into any trouble. You know that. I sure did. We hated when Hoover died. I wish we'd lived through all this other mess that's going on. I just wondered, boy, he was back to his ears.
Now these boys now, they've got them down here at A&I, and they've got them everywhere. They've got them in public schools. Marijuana users.
Not boys.
Well, if the FBI
good.
Finds out that they've got in dealings and stuff like that, they just need to try to get in and never make it.
Well, is there anything that you can think about that you'd like to talk about? Anything at all?
I don't know anything.
You can tell he's not just a big talker and pride in his day.
Well, I thank you for the information you've given me anyway, Mr. Miller.
Yeah. All right. So one night he was fixing to go home from the drugstore. He had been through with all his calls. The boys went out there and lift the back end up and set a box in out of there. And he got in there and put it in low gear. She didn't move. Pulled it back the other way and she wouldn't go. And he began pressing the failing thing. About time they saw he pulled it in low gear, you know, and he shoved it off that box. He just took right off across those vacant lots of the house. Now they'd looked back, never said a word in the world to anybody about it. Nobody ever told him anything. He knew that somebody done it just to have fun out of him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see. I wanted to ask you about were there any large celebrations that y'all ever, the whole town ever get together and have any big festivals or celebrations?
No, not about anything. Used to a long time ago, and they may still do it, but Sal Fierce used to put on a big celebration down there. Most of the people from here would go down there. Sal Fierce. They have a big rodeo down there.
What did we have? Trades there? What was it? All in town. We all be there doing things.
Do you remember, can you remember any of the stories your father used to tell you about, or your grandparents or anything like this, about first settling into Texas?
Oh yeah, my grandparents are on my mother's side. I never did tell lots of things. They were the first, one of the first white people that ever lived in that part of the country up there in Limestone County where they live. And not over 300 yards from their house was an Indian camp. Teepees and what have you down there. And, but they never did bother me any. They didn't have any trouble with them, anything like that.
I don't know what happened to his father because his grandmother wasn't afraid of the devil. He could just get out and go out, and they could have scalped him. Well, it's was it Paul's brother or something that they captured?
Paul's brother that they captured.
And I did have the book on it.
I don't know where he was captured. It wasn't in there where they lived.
It wasn't far.
It wasn't too far from that.
No, it's all up there. Kept him for years.
The Indians
kept it? And he wrote a book when he got out. Somebody wrote it for him. He told it. And I had that book till I let one of the others off.
What was his name?
Buckaloo.
Wow. And he was captured by the Indians.
Yeah.
How long did they keep him?
I don't remember.
And I forgot.
It's in that book.
If
we had the book, but we don't have it.
What had happened to it, you know? And Ernest had, I told you, you know, about his, him and his niggers and how he'd go, you'd have to got ghost stories and things like that. And go out and listen to them and scared to come in the past.
When was this? When you were up in East Texas?
Well, that was when he was little. Yeah.
Central Texas.
Central Texas.